Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has written award-winning news stories on topics as diverse as healthy eating, modesty, and the recovery of Haiti after the 2010 earthquake, and features on people as diverse as a photographer whose work was born out of tragedy and a desire to find God in the heartache. Lisa Hall Wilson also writes historical fantasy and contemporary horror fiction, and recently blogged about Taking Back, one of her works in progress, which is now being released in serial form through email. Lisa's on the phone with us from her London area home to office to talk about The Watched and her other writing projects. But before we begin our conversation with Lisa, let's listen to Jesus Our Tabernacle from the Body and Soul, a Worship Collective self-titled CD, Body and Soul, a Worship Collective. Lisa Hall Wilson. Good evening, Lisa.
Hey, how are you?
Not bad. Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of background on you. I know you and I have chatted in the past, but just in case there's people out there that haven't heard those interviews, let's give them a little more on you. What started your love for writing?
Oh, I think as soon as I learned how to read, I wanted to write. I always have these stories in my head. I can't not write.
Well, in doing that, I mean, most writers that I know were people who did a lot of reading when they were younger, and that as well. Who were some of your favorite writers when you were growing up?
Oh boy, this is going to be so stereotypical. All right, so I was a huge fan of the Black Stallion, Farley Mowat, Walter Farley.
Mm-hmm.
Trixie Belden too. I loved all those kind of mysteries, and
I remember Trixie Belden books. I actually I read them, and that wasn't my demographic. I wasn't in their demographic.
Yeah. So, and then I started into like the Sweet Valley High, but that was kind of cheesy. So then I didn't grow up going to church, so I jumped immediately from Trixie Belden into Harlequin.
Well, in looking at that and looking at what you've read as a youth and what you've been reading now, who would you say would be some of the influences that have been there for you as a writer?
Ted Decker for sure, I would say. Oh, her name's escaping me. Whoever wrote the Outlander series, what's her name?
Diana Gabaldon.
Yes.
Yeah, she was just in Fergus a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. She was a writer. I know she's been out for a long time, but I've only recently discovered her, and I just found that her writing really, really influenced me. I love the way mm-hmm. she describes things and just puts you right in that world there.
Well, a lot of what you do it has been in the journalism field. What sort of led you into that field, and especially with doing some of the personality profiles that you've been doing as well?
Yeah, well, I think what I really love to do is tell people's stories. And so I started writing fiction, and I went to a couple of writers' conferences, and they said, well, but you need clips. You need to prove to an editor that you know how to write well, and you can write to a deadline. And journalism is a great way to do that. They're always looking for content. And so I kind of fell into journalism in that sense. I was looking just to get a few clips to look good to an editor, and it turned out that I was actually pretty good at it. And so I started doing that, and then I found out that I really loved interviewing people and writing profiles. And so I've been doing quite a lot of that, and you know, I think I'm fairly good at that. If people mm-hmm. keep asking me to write more, so.
What would you say has been the most interesting profile you've done so far?
I interviewed the Canadian rapper Manifest.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really interesting interview because I think there was a lot more depth to him than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was reading the book he had out that he was promoting.
Yeah, The Fighter.
Yeah, and I found that it was not very heavy content, and so that was kind of what I was expecting from the interview. But he was very, very well-spoken and very introspective, and so I really enjoyed that interview. Ted Decker was another one that I found very interesting. He's a bit of an odd duck.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use three quarters of the interview because he goes off on a tangent, but they're always very interesting.
Yeah, I've had a chance to talk to Manifest a couple of times, and yeah, he's I'm not a rap fan, but I've gotten to the point where I actually like listening to his music, and there's depth to that you don't often find in rap and hip hop type music.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more thought that went into his music than I realized.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned Ted Decker a couple of times, both as an interview and also some of the reading that you've done and influence. Part of that is you write historical fantasy and horror fiction as well. And what is it about those genres that draw you to them? I mean, you mentioned Diane Gabaldon, who is historical fantasy. You mentioned Ted Decker, which is contemporary horror. But what attracts you to want to write those type of books?
I think, you know, I like I said, I didn't grow up in a church, so I was pretty heavy into the occult as a teenager, and I saw some pretty crazy stuff. And I think I'm always looking for the story where no matter how dark it gets, you know, the character comes out on the other side, and they may not be the same. Obviously, those experiences are going to change them. But, you know, they come out different people and usually better for it. And I'm always captivated by that journey on how you survive that and how you deal with that and cope with that. And I think that so much of Christian literature doesn't even look at that. They just want the happy ending of, you know, mm-hmm. the neat bow at the end of the story. And there's not much of life that's like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get into that because you've got a book that actually that you're starting to release now that I'm expecting probably breaks that rule of the happy ending. But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with our guest writer Lisa Hall Wilson. I'm your host Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Blessed resurrection, you have overcome. Despite death by our own hands, you have won. And so by your power we too now share in this new life. We are raised up with you, Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah, we live this new life. By your suffering and anguish, lowering to hell, by the terror of your soul, ours can be well. It's unspeakable in measure that you hung on the cross. This assures me in my deepest pain and loss. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah. Our old selves are crucified. With you, Lord, we offer up to you our lives. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah, we live this new life. Ascending into heaven, you fill the universe. From the depths unto the heights, you broke the curse. And while reigning at his right hand, you'll be there for our good. Until you come again, I stand where you stood. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah, you live.
Sing it out.
Hallelujah, we live this new life. Hallelujah, you live. Hallelujah, you live.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to This New Life from the self-titled CD Body and Soul, a worship collective, which was a project headed by London area singer-songwriter Jeremy Zile. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our interview with writer Lisa Hall Wilson. Lisa, you talk about the type of books that are out there in the Christian genre that don't often have that like to wrap things up. And you just talked about in a blog about Taking Back the Watched, which is one of your stories. And I'm assuming that was probably part of the reason, was because it wasn't me meeting the nice tidy little rules that you find in Christian publishing.
Yeah, well, you know, Christian publishing, it has a lot of very strict rules, and you know, there's not much freedom to step outside those boundaries at all. And the kind of stories that I'm interested in are all outside those rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually read too much Christian fiction for that reason. I find them very often, I mean, they're well written, but I find them very pat often, and the happy ever after stuff annoys me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked about in your blog about taking back the book. What do you mean by that? What, can you sort of unwrap that for our listeners?
Yeah, well, I just talked about taking back my stories. I think for so long, I tried to fit into that box of the Christian publishing world, and I would go to conferences, and I would speak to agents and editors, and they would say, I really love your writing. There's a lot of imagination and creativity, and this is a really great idea, but we can't sell it because we don't know what shelf to put it on. We think it'll frankly offend readers because I've used taboo words, or, you know, my main character doesn't get saved at the end of the book, or, you know, mm-hmm. any number of what felt to me were just arbitrary rules
mm-hmm.
that don't really mimic life at all. And if fiction doesn't mimic life, then what's the point in reading it? That's kind of my perspective.
Well, maybe if you tell us a little bit about what The Watched is about, of course, no spoilers, that'll give our listeners an idea of what you're talking about.
Sure. Well, The Watched started out as this mammoth epic fantasy I wrote years ago that was more cathartic than anything else. I wrote it as a story about a girl who ends up kind of thrown headfirst on the front lines of a supernatural spiritual war, and she has no idea what she's doing. She has no training and very little backup. And so how does she survive that? How does she get through it? And agents said, "Well, you can't publish this. Nobody will read it." And so I moved on. But now I think there's a real place and a need for that story. I think there's a lot of people out there who are struggling with the same things I struggled with as a new Christian, as someone searching from, you know, being inside the occult. I think they're all looking for those answers. Where is the real power? You know, who has all the answers? And nobody's going to talk to them. The church doesn't talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fiction is one way that we can really reach out. I think what really drew me to Ted Dekker's stories was that I felt like I belonged in his stories.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't shy away from telling the dark and scary stuff. And so I think I want to be able to do that for my readers too. And so I've broken this huge story up into small pieces, episodes, if you like. And, you know, so the first episode, you meet the main character, Erlyn, but she's still learning. She doesn't get to decide what happens next. So that part of the story is told through Edric, who is a warrior who really wants just to settle down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Ted Dekker a couple of times, and he has broken the rules. I mean, I've read a number of his books, he really does go to places that most Christians would rather not go to. What do you think there was about Ted Dekker's material and your works that are different in the sense that publishers are saying, "Well, we can't publish yours," when they've already done that with someone like a Ted Dekker?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ted Dekker, when he first published, he had to follow all the rules too. I remember I talked to him about that. I asked him that specifically, and he said the first three books he put out, he had to write with someone else who had an established name, and he had to follow all the rules. And as soon as he started putting out books that were really the ones on his heart, the ones that now we would recognize him for,
mm-hmm.
he said he lost almost his entire readership and he had to start over.
Wow.
So all the fans that really loved those first three books, you know, the ones on prayer, Blessed is the Child, and some of those ones,
mm-hmm.
it's an entirely different readership than the ones he had later. But if he hadn't had success with those first three books that followed the rules, he never would have had a chance to do the others. And the earliest books, of course, are just plain thrillers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not until you get much later on in his writing that he's allowed to start playing with the supernatural and the occult and some of that other stuff he likes to bring in.
Well, what is it about what you're working on that drives you to the point where, like you say, you've decided that you were going to take back you're not going to play by the rules, you're going to write what you feel God has put on your heart and what you feel you need to write? What keeps you motivated to keep going through this and just not become discouraged and give the whole thing up and just say, "Yeah, I'll just write by the rules so I can get published"?
Yeah, well, I tried writing by the rules and I found out that I wasn't very good at it. So I've been plenty discouraged. I think I just finally decided that I can't be the only one who loves these stories. I know that I'm not the only one who loves these stories, and I know I'm not the only one who's had that kind of background. And, you know, I think we're given these stories precisely to help those who are coming from a similar place. We're not told to, you know, hide our light under a bushel, so mm-hmm. to speak. I know I'm taking that out of context a little bit.
Well,
I don't believe we should keep quiet about the experiences we've had, and this is one way that I can share what's happened to me in a way that, I mean, it's not biographical. There's a lot of fiction in it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've decided to release The Watched as a serial. You've got people in on a subscription list and going to be sending them out. How did you come to determine that was the way that you were going to get these stories out?
Well, actually, that was that's just simply a function of my lifestyle. I have three teenagers at home, and I freelance full-time, and so trying to do this on the side you know, I'm writing on the fringes, you know, very early in the morning, very late at night, taking weekends and binge writing 20,000 words at a time. And so 20,000 word chunks thereabouts are about what I can manage, you know, in those fringe hours. I just don't have the time to work on an 80,000 word manuscript. Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, I mean, if you go back far enough, I mean, you look at some of the works of Dickens and even Conan Doyle with the Sherlock Holmes series, a lot of their books started out as serials in this serial style, where they came out in the newspapers or magazines of the day in chunks, and then it was only later that they were compiled into an actual book. So you're really not doing anything that's different. But because it hasn't been done for so long, it does seem different.
Yeah, well, and what they were doing was serial fiction, so they were writing as they went, and they would get reader feedback, and that might influence the next segment. What I've done is I have a completed work, and I am releasing it in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's serialized fiction. It's not a serial. I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
That's semantics, but it's a completed story, and I'm just releasing it in chapters.
Mm, yeah.
And so people can write into me, but it's probably not going to influence what the next chapter is going to be about.
Yeah. Well, what's been the reaction so far to your call for people to subscribe and to get the book sent out in segments?
I think, you know, the biggest reaction has been from family and friends who have seen me do this journey for the last 10 or 12 years and have listened to me tell them about these stories that I write and that never get published. And I think they're the ones who are really driving me to say, keep going. You know, we think you have something worthwhile to say. And so I've had a lot of support from the people who have followed me over the years and people who have read my columns. And so that's mm-hmm. been a real, real blessing just to keep going and find that encouragement to keep going and pressing on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take one final break, and then we're going to finish up our conversation with writer Lisa Hall Wilson. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Am Not My Own from the Body and Soul, a Worship CD Collective's self-titled CD, Body and Soul, a Worship Collective. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with writer Lisa Hall Wilson. Lisa, we were talking about releasing this as in segments and that. Sort of what led you to do that than just take the whole book and self-publish it as a book? Because there are a number of other writers that have gone that route.
Yeah, I think I was looking at the success of writers like Hugh Howey, who is, you know, kind of pioneered the ebook revolution lately, and he, you know, released things a chapter at a time, and I just thought that was really interesting and unique, and he was able to create a lot of buzz by doing that. And even the writer of The Martian, right, so he just released it on his blog just to see if anybody cared, and I think that was kind of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are you looking at the, you know, potentially depending on how much of a reaction you get to it, you may end up putting it out as a book?
Well, that's my plan, is to do, you know, there'll be 6 or 8 segments, and then at the end of it, I'll release it all as a compiled version. So mm-hmm. If you'd rather read the whole thing back to, you know, cover to cover, you'll be able to do that.
Okay. So are there any other projects that you're working on at the moment as well?
Oh, sure. I've got 5 or 6 different manuscripts in a drawer that I'll need to see the light of day. I think one thing I wanted to mention is I was also really inspired by the story of Frank Peretti, of how, you know, nobody would buy this Present Darkness mm-hmm. first tried to sell it, and he was selling copies out of his trunk, and now look at him.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, you mentioned the title of that book, and everybody's like, oh yeah, I read that. How many people stayed up late with all the lights on reading that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that maybe you have to go independent and do it on your own to see some real change.
Right. Well, if people are interested about you and learning more about The Watch and learning more about what you've been doing, where can they do that?
Yeah, well, they can do it on my website, lisahallwilson.com, and I'll be publishing 2 chapters a week starting September 30th, so they can read it all there.
Right. Now, what if someone signs up after September 30th? Are they going to be able to get the first ones that have been released, or how are you going to you do that?
Oh, there'll be links to all of the previous chapters, yes.
Okay.
So there won't be a problem. If you start in the middle, you can go back to the beginning and pick and start again, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, Lisa, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Lisa Hall Wilson. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.